on Sydney's 2UE, Nostalgia with Craig.
Yes, hey Craig.
Good morning, George.
Hello, Craigie.
And Paul B, what a joy. Here we are together.
Here we are. Yeah, where we all belong. Now, today we're looking at the life and the sad life, in a way, of John Belushi. And I was just looking over the film credits, Craig, and I remember when we were working in radio when we got the news that he died and so on. Looking down the list, I think I only ever saw him in one movie, and, of course, that was the big one, The Blues Brothers.
Yeah, that's right. Look, he made 8 movies in what was his very short career. It would only lasted 11 years, his career. A really tragic life. He was a comedy comet, you know, a Hollywood funny man. He so infamously died of a drug overdose after partying it up with Robert De Niro and Robin Williams. Had he still been with us, George and Paul, John Belushi would have been 66 today, but he was only 33 when he died back in the early 80s. His death was so shocking and so sensational, it actually scared Robin Williams and Robert De Niro off of drugs. They too had dabbled in drugs.
I was going to say, Craig, if you don't mind, we're all familiar with Robin Williams, and that's been very heavily publicised, what happened with him. Robert De Niro, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, he dabbled, and in fact they were all there that night shortly before he died. It's an amazing story. So I'll detail that for you shortly. But you know what? In life, John Belushi had this growing fan base. He would likely have gone on to become, you know, one of the great Hollywood icons had he been able to get his hopeless addiction to drugs and booze in check. Now, he was a raucous, he was a high-octane performer, much like his very dear friend Robin Williams. Look, he was an actor. He was a wonderfully funny man. He was a fabulous musician. You just talked about the Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
And of course, he and his close friend Dan Aykroyd, they had that huge hit movie back in 1980. Then they released several best-selling Blues Brothers albums.
And I believe that he did the best ever Joe Cocker impersonation. I think apparently Joe Cocker thought he was watching film of himself.
Well, that's right. That was on Saturday Night Live, and it was absolutely spooky. Look, some of his other movies, George, you said you'd really only got your head around one. That was The Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
National Lampoon's Animal House, of course, is a cult classic and a fan favourite. It was one of the first gross-out frat house movies, and of course it kicked off a whole cavalcade of them. He was in a movie called Old Boyfriends. He was in another movie called Going South with Jack Nicholson. Jack also directed that movie. There was Steven Spielberg's comedy, though I didn't think it was all that funny, again with Dan Aykroyd, called 1941. He and Dan teamed up together in a movie called Neighbours, which in fact was John Belushi's last movie. He was one of the founding members of Saturday Night Live back in the mid-70s, and that Joe Cocker sketch that you are talking about, I mean, it went on to become a kind of regular thing, was absolutely eerie. Mm. You realise shortly after John Belushi's death, a woman came forward admitting that she had given him the fatal speedball injection.
Oh, that's some Canadian woman.
That's a mixture of cocaine and heroin. You're talking about
a combination of that. Really
drugs. That was potent.
Yeah, dreadful. And look, his weight is what really drove him to the dreaded drugs and booze in the first place. So I know you are both
in. Just before you go on, that woman, that Canadian woman who admitted, and I think the article in the newspaper had the headline, "I killed John Belushi," she ended up doing time in jail for it.
Yes, look, she did. I've got all of that story. Okay. Kathy Smith was her name. She was, in fact, a backup singer who was working for Gordon Lightfoot at the time, and she sold her story to the National Enquirer, and her revelations were so shocking. Anyway, I've got all of that and so much for you both, and this is, as I say, a sad but an extraordinary story. He was born in Illinois. Now, his parents hailed from Albania, so they were immigrants to America, and they ran a cafe in Chicago. Now, his younger brother, Jim, is also an actor. John's story really is rags to riches. He was repeatedly told he would never amount to anything more than being a cash register operator at his parents' diner. But you know what? From the moment he played the Blue Fairy, hopping into a frock for a school play, he fell completely and totally mad with acting. He wanted to be a performer more than anything. Look, he played football for a while. He played the drums for a local band. But it was acting and comedy that jumped his jack. So, 1971, he was 22. He joins a comedy company in Chicago, and he was off and running. George and Paul had that natural knack for it. He didn't run off and have lessons all over the place and train with anybody. He just had that innate way and fabulous comic timing, and he was just a natural-born performer. performer. So he's doing the comedy company thing in Chicago, and then a year later, he's cast in an off-Broadway comedy called National Lampoon's Lemmings, which was a send-up of Woodstock. Now, Chevy Chase and the wonderful Christopher Guest were with him on stage in that. Christopher Guest is Jamie Lee Curtis's husband. A year later, John was appearing on a radio show called National Lampoon's Radio Hour. National Lampoon, by the way, was a comedy magazine in America, very popular. So there was the radio show spin-off and, you know, the stuff that was done off-Broadway on stage and so forth. And as I say, this is where he met Dan Aykroyd. They went on to become really close friends, as he was with Chevy Chase. You know,
that was almost a generation of comedians over there, wasn't it?
They were
the group of
their little into their tight little group of Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase and John Belushi bounced the inimitable Robin Williams. So look, it was while working on TV's Saturday Night Live that John and Dan Aykroyd concocted their Elwood and Jake Blues characters, and so the Blues Brothers were born, and the rest, as they say, truly was history, because that went on to become a great movie and a whole bunch of hugely successful music albums and so forth. To his private life, he was only married once. Not a lot of people know he was even married, but John Belushi was, to a lass by the name of Judith Jacklin. Now, she had unswerving support for his amazing talent, and she went on to produce many of his shows. Now, look, to the drug horror that basically engulfed his life. He'd always been very insecure about his looks, and especially George and Paul about his weight. He'd been told he was too plain to ever amount to anything in showbiz. You're never going to make it in showbiz. Basically, you're ugly.
But he was overweight, but he wasn't grossly obese. If you described him, you'd say he's a bit chubby, but, you know.
And he wasn't he wasn't a handsome bloke, but he wasn't an ugly bloke either. He was an ordinary-looking bloke.
Yeah. I agree with you, but he was fed these things by people who clearly didn't have his best interests at heart. And so he began thinking, oh, gosh, you know, my life is going to be on the end of a cash register. I really want to be a star. And so this kind of ate away at him. It developed a cloud of insecurity and all sorts of issues. And so he turned to the booze to cope. He then turned to hard drugs. In fact, he was so often off his scone during those Saturday Night Live days. He was fired, and then he was rehired, and then he was fired again.
So hang on a second, Craig. So he died when he was in his early 30s, so the drugs are not a thing that happened right at the end of his life. He'd been doing that for some time.
He had, George, yes, through the 70s. And as I say, it came about because he really just had this thing about his weight, and he had this thing that he would never amount to anything, and, that he turned to drugs and booze to kind of comfort. Now, after his success, those Blues Brothers skits on TV, they all teamed up with the wonderful pianist and arranger Paul Shaffer. You see him on the David Letterman show.
Oh, yeah, yep.
And they formed a proper band and landed a big recording deal. Their albums were fabulous and huge hits, and then came the Blue Brothers movie. So you're getting the impression here that his success was really beginning to build, and he was developing a fabulous...
Yeah, well, the Blues Brothers movie came in about 1980, which is about 2 years before he died.
You know what? At the time of his death, he was about to start work on the Ghostbusters movie with Dan Aykroyd and his old chum, Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
That role went to Bill Murray subsequently. There was also the movie Moons Over Miami with Louis Malle, National Lampoon's The Joy of Sex. So you know what? He was on the verge of really big things. So look, to the night of his death, he'd been staying at Bungalow 3, lived in New York, but he was in Los Angeles for some business, staying in Bungalow 3 of the famous Chateau Marmont Hotel in L.A. It was party central. At some point, Robin Williams and Robert De Niro had been in there in Bungalow 3 drugging up a storm with John Belushi, right? Also there was a lass by the name of Kathy Smith. I told you she was a backup singer. She worked with was working with Gordon Lightfoot. She was a hanger-on and basically a drug dealer, right? Not the great kind of person to have around if you're in John Belushi's situation, although he would disagree with that assessment. She was there and later claimed to have injected John with that lethal speedball, the cocaine-heroin combo that he was so fond of. So sometime around midday...
So hang on a second, that's not the first time he'd taken that speedball thing.
No, he'd done it before and she would supply them for him, right?
Okay.
She was basically his drug dealer. She'd carry around this silver purse and she'd open the purse and all of this stuff would be there for John Belushi. So sometime around midday on March 5, 1982, John's trailer came... John